Hey, listeners, did you know that Yogi Triathlete offers endurance coaching for body and mind? We offer personalized training plans for endurance sports, wellness and mindset, nutrition and recovery guidance, and race preparation and strategy, all within the supportive community of Team Yogi Triathlete. So if you're ready to conquer your fitness goals and push your limits, our endurance coaches are ready to guide you on the journey to peak performance. Go to yogitriathlete.com today to set up your free 30-minute discovery call and embrace a future of strength, stamina, and achievement. Your goals, our experience, the perfect match for unstoppable success.
It really is kind of like this step process, right? Like, you become aware of your thoughts, right? Then you get tools and practices and techniques to, you know, get into that gap and choose different responses. And then as you choose and fuel different responses that move you towards the person you want to be in the world that you dream to see, then those old patterns fall away. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about stopping anything. No. It's just like we have to stop charging what it is that we don't want to charge anymore.
Yeah. So if I always get angry when X happens or such and such happens, well, there you go. There's the arrow to what's next to work on. What is it that you get charged? Okay. Well, what is it about it? Look at these things that have really a hold on you, a hold on your joy and growth as a spiritual being having a human experience. It's important practice to really own.
Welcome back to the Yogi Triathlete Podcast. I'm Jess, and I'm here with BJ. This is our April O Show, also known as the Open and Honest Show, where we just kind of dish on things, answer your questions. We got a question we're going to address today. But first, I would like to say thank you, everyone, who reached out to me and just lent some words of support. For last month's O Show, I showed up quite raw on that episode. And no, I'm serious. Like, I really do appreciate that because I know the authenticity is important. And, you know, it wasn't my first podcast hangover. I've had many. And I had the question of like, well, you're still going to publish it? Because I told a few people about, you know, like, oh my God, I was less than 48 hours off a plane, a little heartbroken after this really transformative life enhancing experience I had in Patagonia. And the answer was, of course, like, you got to put it out there, right, Beach?
Absolutely. Yeah. Got to be vulnerable and yeah. Got to lead the demonstration.
Yeah. Got to live the demonstration, a little nod to the question we're going to be answering later. But I'm back in action. But undeniably, like, that trip left an indelible mark on my heart. And so I'm really excited to say that it is official, on the books, February 15th to February 22nd, 2025. Patagonia Yoga Adventure is on, and we already have people signing up. There's a lot of buzz and a lot of momentum, and it really seems like an adventure that's very suiting for this listenership, for this community. And so, if it's on your heart, like, you won't fully be able to understand the meaning of that until you're actually there and you're experiencing it. But if you listen to this show, there has to be some element that you trust us. And so if you trust us at all and you have it on your heart, don't hesitate, like, pull the trigger. You've got 300 and something days, to, you know, manifest what you need for the experience ahead, but $500, throw your deposit down, make that statement to the universe. And then I've been there. Like, I can help you with flights. I can help you kind of understand the infrastructure of how it all plays out. But any, like, logical questions, BJ, that you think would be helpful?
Yeah, I mean, well, no, traveling out of the country, number one. You know, yeah. How many people don't travel out of the country? They would rather vacation right here where we live in California. So, you know, the hesitation would be fear of the unknown, not traveling into a known area.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chile is like it's a very stable country. It's, you can expect, you know, pretty similar prices to the States. And I know people listen to this podcast that don't live in the States. Like, we have listenership all over the world. But if I'm talking just specifically in the country that I live in, but yeah, Chile is a politically stable country. It's, I felt very safe there. And, you know, the logistics around that would be, number one, just, get your passport. And you've got plenty of time to do that. Like, this isn't something that you would want to wait on, because passports can take a long time. You also need a passport that is, like, not expiring within 6 months of the trip. So, you know, if you have a passport and you're going to come on this trip, just check that and get that renewal process going. As far as, like, traveling there, you know, I'm not a travel agent, but we had people coming in from New York City, Washington, D.C., Denver, California, and the people on the East Coast, you know, they were JFK to Santiago. Somebody from New Jersey went to, like, through Miami, I think, and then Miami to Santiago. On the West Coast, we were LA to Santiago. So just like this direct flight right to Santiago. I took a short little flight to LA. LA to Santiago. And then we all kind of met in the airport, which is really cool. There was 5 of the 7 of us that came together in the Santiago airport. And then a quick flight over to Puerto Montt. And so those flights you're responsible for. And then after that, like, everything is covered. There's a little bit of equipment that you need to get prior to. And then, of course, maybe some, definitely some tips, like gratuity. But other than that, all your food, all your transportation, which is so great. So you don't have to worry about, like, how do I get around in a foreign country? It is all taken care of. Like, you're driven around, you're fed, and you are well cared for. And that was a piece of feedback that people kept saying on the trip, like, I've never felt so cared for before. And that, wow, what I think an incredible testament, not only just to how the Travel Yogi curates these retreats, but the people that they partner with. And I can attest to that as well. Yeah.
Well, what if I don't, here's another one. What if I don't raft, or I don't go, rafting.
Yeah.
I know that was a big thing that you were talking about even before this first trip, but is it a factor?
You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Like, you could be like, I don't want to go to the river today. I'm going to stay and I'm going to hike. Because the two places that we stay at for multiple days, those both have hiking routes right from the lodges. The first place we stay has this spectacular lake, which, like, you have to go underwater and open up your eyes because there's millions of sunbeams down there. It's incredible. So you could open water swim. There's kayaks. You could kayak. Like, you can do whatever you want. And that was really something that a precedent that was set within the group, like, on the first day. Raft, don't raft, kayak, don't kayak. Like, this is your experience. And, you know, I was talking to Jen just yesterday, and she was saying, like, as many times as they say that, you know, they can't stress it enough that, like, this is your trip. Take advantage of what you want to take advantage of and leave the rest.
I love that.
And yeah, you'll be supported. 100% you'll be supported by that.
Really, the obstacle is giving yourself an adventure. Like, putting yourself in that experience to have the experience. And you talk about this, you've been talking about it a lot. Like, now you have information that you can share because you've been there. You have this experience. But of course, you had to first say, I have never been there before. I'm going to go have an experience, enjoy myself, see what comes of it. Now you have that. So anybody that wants to, or is listening to this and they're like, I would really want to go check it out, they can just ask you. Just, like, rely on you for information on what you experienced there, what shortcuts you had, because you did a lot of work on, you know, how to most efficiently get there. You really captured the daily recaps of what you guys did do. So all of this stuff is known now. All they need to do is tap into you as a resource.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to hop on a call or, like a DM exchange or email, whatever, to assist however I can assist in, you know, easing any kind of anxiety around that and helping anyone like really step into a calling to go. One of the things I think is fantastic, and some of the guests took advantage of it, is the pay-as-you-go option. And, you know, with 300 days, basically, by the time this launches, I think it'll be like, you know, 300 days until the trip, you know, you put your deposit down and then you just pay, you can pay as you go. So then whatever your final balance is a lot less. And that felt really good to a lot of people. And they said that it made, they made it just financially, just it made it so much more easeful to do that. And along the way, it kind of helped them not spend on frivolous things that they didn't really need. They were like, wait, I could take this $100 or $75 or $500 and I could put it towards my Patagonia experience. And other than like, if you want to get like souvenirs, or really the place to, you know, shop is like when we're in Puerto Varas, which is just like that first day. And so, you know, there's your expense there, and gratuities, for the guides. But other than that, like, I told you, I didn't spend, besides my contribution to the gratuity, I didn't spend any money down there at all.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's not true. I spent $20 on lunch one day, which was the last day because we had so many hours before our flight that we decided to go into town on our own and have lunch.
Well, pretty much everything is involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great trip. I haven't been, but what you've described and what I've seen is just, it looks so breathtaking. I think that's a good word.
Yeah.
So if it's placed on your heart, find out more information on it. Like, so again, this comes full circle as to Yogi Triathlete. Like, don't let these obstacles keep you from having a amazing experience in Patagonia. Like, start to diffuse each one of them, even just write them down, like write five of the things that are challenging you and start to find the opposite of it, or reach out to Jess and sort of work through it. That's a practice too.
Yeah. And you know, there was a moment, I don't think I talked about it in the first podcast, but there was a moment where I stepped off the plane in San Diego and I was walking, you were coming to pick me up, and I was walking through the airport on Sunday morning, Pacific time. And I just kind of looked down and I was like in the same clothes that I was in Patagonia, you know, the previous day, which was two seasons, like overnight, it changed two seasons. We had a time change, plus there was a time difference. And I just was so overwhelmed with joy in that moment. And like being in the same sweaties that I was in that morning in Patagonia. And I had I had taken four planes and I'm still in the same clothes. And I'm just overwhelmed in joy because it's like I'm still in the adventure. And I think it's really easy for the mind to be like, oh, it's so far, the travel. It is all a part of the adventure. Like, it is just so much fun. And if you're on the West Coast, like, there were some people coming from the West Coast, you know, our athlete and her wife, and we met in LA and we flew together and it was amazing. And then on the way home, it was those two. And then another woman, Trisha, who is actually coming back to Patagonia in 2025. Amazing. I'm so excited. And we were on the same flight together and we were just laughing and, you know, sharing like deodorant and like anything, essential oils, like try and get yourself refreshed and just continuing the adventure, even on the flight. Yeah, pretty incredible experience. And I'm here as a resource. Hope you join us. Like I said, it's already coming together. We've got people already signing up. So like, don't miss your spot. Definitely don't miss your spot. Come and join us.
Cool. What else?
Okay. Well, let's just stay on the retreat,
okay,
the yoga adventure for just a sec, okay, here, because we also have Sicily, and Sicily is, is another adventure that's happening September 28th to October 5th. Now, here's the deal. Like, if this is something I've had a lot of like, oohs and ahs about it, and I'm going to sign up. And we have people signed up, but we don't have right now. It's not a go with the amount of people we have signed up. Right. So I'm just putting this call out really honestly to the community. If Sicily is a retreat that you are planning on coming on, then get registered for it, because we are giving it until May 14th. That's going to be our drop date. And if we don't have the registrations we need, we're going to let this one go. And so this is helping us determine how we can best serve you guys, because what are these adventures that you're seeking? Obviously, Patagonia is one of those. Obviously, Galapagos Islands is one of those. That sold out in 10 days with a wait list. So if we don't hear from you or registrations don't come in, like, we love you anyway. You're just helping us identify what adventures we can bring to this community to help people check those bucket lists and realize those dreams of traveling the world with yogi triathlete people, like-minded, awake and ready, ready to, you know, have an adventure, ready to laugh their butts off, ready to just live and not wait to live. So Sicily, this is it. Like, we need to know if you're in. So please, all these, they'll be in the, you know, show notes. They're in the links in our bios and Instagram and all of that. But May 14th is our drop date. If this is something you're planning on doing and you just haven't pulled the trigger, pull the trigger so we know, and we'll keep curating this adventure for you. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Wine tasting, hiking, Europe's largest active volcano, Mount Etna, which is the mother of Sicily. We're going to be sun-kissed. We're going to be blissed out. We're going to be eating amazing Sicilian food, cooking classes. We're going to an aromatic herb farm. All the details are up on yogitriathlete.com under retreats. So check it out and stake your claim if you want it.
Plenty of options to get out there and have an adventure.
There's more, but we are going to just leave it on those two for now. Yeah.
Well, you poke around the website, you'll see that there's tons of things.
There's more coming. It's really exciting. We see this trend when people are in triathlon doing Ironman, half Ironman. We're seeing this trend, and I'm seeing it with the clients that I work with too, the athletes I work with, really wanting more adventure. So this is a beautiful thing that we get to bring into this community. So really excited.
Super cool. Yeah. So much abundance and momentum is happening. Like, really feel with these retreats and with races and with the team and with podcasts, I just feel like there's a lot of energy flow. So come connect with us. Well, I won't be on the retreats, but I'll be at some races. So come to some races, get on retreat, and just have an experience.
What does that mean, have an experience? When you say that, like, just have an experience. Like, what?
It means let go.
What's the passion behind that?
Yeah, let go of all expectations and agendas and all the mind stuff surrounding how things should be, or how they have to be in order for you to be happy or for it to be a success, and simply just hand yourself over to whatever it is that's in front of you. In this case, let's just say Sicily, and have an experience. Like, throw your expectations out the window and simply just be in that environment. Like, if there's an expectation of, well, how am I going to eat my diet that I eat every day? Like, how am I going to find that? Instead, immerse yourself over into, like, wow, like, I'm exposing myself to new foods and new ways of preparing these foods and watching where all these foods are grown, and not having that firm grip on just how things have to be. So I use that a lot in coaching. Go out for a long run and have an experience. Go out on a long ride where you normally turn right, go left, and go left again, and then go right. Yeah.
So I do see you do this with some of your athletes, and sometimes there's kind of like a scenario or a state that they're kind of working through. So like speaking to athletes, like when would be a really potent time to just be like, you know what? I got to talk to my coach, or maybe BJ's my coach or Melissa's my coach. I got to talk to them. I got to just throw out the structure and go have an experience. So what would, like, when you guide your athletes to do something like that, what are they typically coming up against or overcoming? Say that. Against feels like kind of limiting.
I would say usually it's again, they have expectations of being further along, or certain workouts aren't improving in their mind. You know, as a coach, as Melissa and I look at work at sessions and workouts and stuff, we sort of see the overview of the entire process. But I think athletes, myself included at times, get so fixated on certain things, and they need to be, you know, hit certain times and paces, and you get so immersed in that you forget about the joy of it all. Like, what is the purpose of this whole thing? And it's to work and strive towards something, to be better, just to be a little bit better yourself. And when I feel like they're gripping too tightly, I will certainly throw in there, like, go just no structure today. Go out and run easy. Do some skipping. Stop and, you know, look at the flowers, or close your eyes and take a deep breath. You know, things like that to sort of interrupt the, I guess, monotony of, you know, the day-to-day. And I usually see that if athletes are getting, you know, they're starting to be bored, fatigued. You can just kind of sense that they're not enjoying the process. So you got to interrupt that. You got to interrupt that. They get so immersed in clinging so tightly. And when we let go, the kung fu grip of how things have to be. Like, when we let that go, we sort of repattern our brain to say, like, oh, well, that was actually pretty fun. Like, I had been shutting down any sort of activity that wasn't on the plan. So deviations from the plan are great. Also, I should note, it's great for athletes that are consistently performing, and they're dialing in their training, and they're doing the workouts. This isn't for somebody who is kind of doing a workout here and there, maybe doing something and then not doing something.
Oh, this is an important discernment. Yeah.
Because it's important to find consistency with that and do the plan. That's actually where it's most valuable. Stick to the plan, keep doing it day in, day out. Like, get that rhythm going, get that habit and pattern set, so that you can enjoy the times that you can deviate from it. If you're constantly deviating, then you're not consistently training.
Yeah, you haven't earned the right to deviate.
Earn the right. I heard that twice this week from athletes that said they really like that. They really could embrace that. They understood what that meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you want big things in your life, or you're craving more in life, or there's that thing that you're just like, oh, I know I'm going to do this someday, but I don't know how it's all going to come together. Like, you will earn the right for those things to be realized in your life as you lean into, you know, this idea of like taking a leap and having an experience. But you have to earn that right. You have to be disciplined. You have to have the consistency. The idea of, you know, being a triathlete or an endurance athlete or a runner or whatever is, you have to back it up with action. Because if you don't back it up with consistency and action, it becomes an unrealistic desire, which creates stress and anxiety in your life. And then you haven't earned the right to go have an experience to bring the joy back. You're just in a really bad cycle.
Well, you're also,
but you can strengthen will.
Yeah.
That would be the assignment. It's like strengthen will. And so that's where, you know, we can speak that language and we can help people strengthen will.
But I think subconsciously, by constantly deviating or finding something else to do other than the workout, creates a habit that you don't even know. that's subconscious, right? Like you don't even know it's happening. And you just keep repeating it over and over again. So you're actually strengthening that habit that isn't helpful. So yeah. If you constantly are doing runs, I've had this before too, like an hour run, and you're always doing like 50 minutes or 47 minutes or 40 minutes. You're never doing the hour. Well, now you've kind of subconsciously created the habit that you don't need to finish. So what does the mind think when you get to race day and you're pushing and you're...
You've done enough.
Yeah, you've done enough.
It's been enough.
You can just back off and, you can just...
Well, you begin to strengthen the possibility of quitting.
Right. And then the justifications will come up. Like, I know. I have been there. There's so many times.
Oh my God. Me too. Like you can reason yourself into whatever kind of excuse or failure you want. And then like you can fight for it too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the greatest gifts of, you know, being awake and ready is this, like, and it's comical when you get onto yourself, and you can experience and hear when you're fighting for your limitations. It's just ridiculous.
Like I can only swim. I can only swim in the morning. And if I don't swim in the morning, I can't swim.
Okay. So we had this. Yes. This was one of our limitations that we had. We had to swim in the morning. We couldn't swim any other time. For me, it was because I wanted to start drinking wine as soon as possible. So I'd be like, I can't swim after 4 because 4 is like wine o'clock time, you know? We've always worked at home and we used to drink a lot more wine than I do now. But that was what was your thing? I definitely just kind of wanted to get started on my wine drinking. What was it for you? Because I know it wasn't that.
It wasn't wine, no.
It wasn't.
I don't know what it was for me. It was just probably just something I created in my mind that was absurd.
I think that that's your personality. You'll get locked in.
Yeah.
Which is incredible for your goals, right? So this is a great quality, but a lot of times our greatest qualities, we got to watch them because our greatest qualities can also be, you know, our greatest enemies. Like I have a lot of fire. That's an incredible quality. It's allowed me to achieve what I desire in this life. It's also hurt people and alienated people in my life and driven me into a wall. So yeah, you gotta be on to yourself.
Awake and ready.
You gotta be awake and ready. Yeah. All right. So as we were talking about these things and talking about how the things that we, you know, coach athletes through, we have experienced ourselves, it leads me to Bill's question, which is really right along these lines. So Bill is one of our Patreon supporters. Thank you, Bill. Really, really appreciate you being a part of our community. So he says, on a future O show, can you dive into the concept of living the demonstration, right? Live the demonstration. It's powerful. And I'd like to hear more on the origin of this and your perspectives. When did you first hear live the demonstration?
It was either you or Bob, I would say. Probably you.
Yeah.
Back in Newport, I think, almost.
Yeah. And for me, it came from Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Meditator Bob.
Meditator MB. If you read the book Awake Athlete.
Well, of course they've read the book Awake Athlete.
And you see these references for MB and you're like, what?
Come on. I see those $3 checks come in from Amazon. I know somebody out there is buying it once a month. I just reread it. Actually, I just reread Awake Athlete when I came home from Patagonia because I knew she was going to help me. Like get through this, like this, whatever this was that was on display in March's O show. And also just, you know, I alluded to it in the March show. Like there's things in just new states of, with my mom and dad, my dad specifically. And that hasn't stopped. It's heavy. It's like I have a cinder block sitting underneath my heart at all times. It's not on my heart because I live the demonstration. And my heart is like I have got that 10,000 foot view and I understand a bigger picture of everything that's happening. But then there's just this cinder block of like, oh God, somebody that I love so much in my life is just suffering so bad and we're all suffering. So living the demonstration is like, is really for me in this specific situation is like honoring that human part of me. And you see it sometimes, you know, we had more, for the lack of a better word, setbacks this week. And it's a lot, and holding space for this suffering. And I can't do anything to take it away. And so living the demonstration is like feeling that and just really honoring this human part of me and the love that I have for my dad. And then also being that awake athlete with the 10,000 foot view and understanding that there is something bigger at play here. And, you know, and that's the spiritual part of me. And I'm not talking about religion. This isn't religion. This is, you know, I'm talking about the part of me that's, you know, fueling this voice that you're hearing and allowing me to see through my eyes to see you right now, BJ. Like, there's spirit. I'm spirit living a human experience. And so for me, living the demonstration in something as stressful as, you know, the ultimate transition of a parent who I have been extremely close to my whole life is, it's balancing, it's titrating between the spirit and the human experience and allowing for it all. So meditating, moving my body when it just seems like too much, journaling, seeing my dad as this incredible, capable being, who's in a lot of suffering and seeing him as his whole life, you know, like he just matters so much. And, I think just living that whole awake athlete book. So I just reread it and it helped me so much. I don't think we can have enough reminders of how powerful it is to have an open mind and a connection to something greater than what we can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. Originally living the demonstration came from Bob, and before you started working, it was early on. So you weren't working with him as early as I was working with him. So I'm sure it came through to you. So how are you living the demonstration right now?
Well, I was just thinking about with that. Yeah. What is that? Like, how do I look at that? And it's a little bit different. And I think I embraced it more so in the realm of looking at others saying they should be doing this, or they should be doing this, or they need to be doing more of this or less of this. And it was always about outside, right? Pointing at them to be doing something that I believe that it would make them better. And then this concept resonated so well where it was like, am I doing these things? Like, am I the one who's actually meditating, taking recovery days, doing the hard work on the bike, leaving work at 5? When I had a corporate job, like all these things, how can I even start to tell others what to do if I'm not actually doing it myself? So I think it's an ownership of your life and your choices and aligning them with the way that you want to live and the way that you find joy and feel good about yourself. And then once you can do that, which is living the demonstration, right? This is what I wish to see in others, but I first need to see it in myself. So once you can work on it and develop that muscle yourself, then you can begin to be a better coach, guide, teacher. And I think that's why that step back, whenever that was, that the concept had come into my life, really was truly powerful, in that I needed to hyper focus on getting myself to the point where I'm experiencing these things, living these things, so that I can share them with others, not tell others just based on what I think that they should do.
Yeah. So living what we teach, right? And I think it, like, for me, I think I'm just thinking about this now, like when, how I became a triathlete was, well, we were at the Boulder Peak Triathlon. It was your, was that your first? It wasn't your first triathlon, but it was, I think it was your second triathlon. And we were at the Boulder Peak Triathlon, and this was, I don't know, 75 years ago.
2004.
Okay, 2004. And I remember sitting on the pavement, and I had all my flashcards because I was in massage school and I was studying for an anatomy test, and I was quite disinterested in what was happening. I was just not interested. And it was that day that I said I was never, ever going to do a triathlon ever. And those were the exact words. But this fire that I spoke about earlier was like, I want to be the best massage therapist there is. And because I was in massage school, I don't know if I already said that. And I wanted to work with athletes. And so then I thought, well, wait, like I know I'm acing my classes. I know what they're going through because I'm learning about it in a book. But I thought, if I really want to be the best, I should experience it. Then I'll really know. And that's what drove me to do my first triathlon, which was the Fort Collins Triathlon. And I remember as soon as I finished it, I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then the fire starts, the competitiveness starts. And it's like, well, I could probably do a faster swim. And, you know, cause like I got messed up in the, cause it was a pool swim, and I could probably be faster in transition. And what if I started to run faster, really became that runner that I wanted to be. And, so then I became a triathlete because really it was fueled by this, like, I want to be the best massage therapist. Cause there was just that competitiveness that I had and, you know, and then of course I fell in love with it. Right. So I think it was like, I was living the demonstration then, like I wanted to work with athletes, but here I am just telling them, oh, well, you should do this. You should, well, I wasn't doing anything cause I was still in school, but I would have been like, well, you should do this. You should do that because intellectually I understand, but there was something more there and I actually became a triathlete. So then, and then it was just, you know, I had the, my dream practice. All I worked with was athletes. And I think that authenticity of living the demonstration, like I was trustworthy because I was also doing, you know, Saturday long ride, Sunday long run, bricks, signing up for races, doing an Ironman. And, you know, that's what continued to drive like the distances too, because I wanted to work with people doing long distance. So, you know, I think if you look at your life and the things that you really want to be good at, like, I think you're probably living, and I'm talking to people who are listening, like, I think you're probably living the demonstration in many areas. But if something feels off, like maybe there's a place where you can live it a little bit more. And I think yoga teacher training in 2013 really hammered that home because, you know, Philip was all about like, have you ever been guilty of the same, right? Like, and he gives the, he says that, you know, there's no assholes, basically. There's no assholes. Because if you're getting charged by something, then you need to look at that and you need to ask yourself, have I ever been guilty of the same in any form?
Yeah, I think that's the...
In any form. And that that created some heated conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I actually think I've talked about this in a past podcast where, you know, I like to stop at the lights on my bike, right? At the red lights. But people, cyclists will go right through, right? And at first I'm like, oh, like you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to stop. And then it's like, well, no, they're not supposed to stop. Like they're doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. So who am I? Have I ever run a red light ever in my entire life? Or have I done something that wasn't, that went against the law in anything? Of course I have. Yeah, absolutely. So in any form, it doesn't matter. Have I done that? Absolutely. So who am I to be in my big chair and be like, you shouldn't go to the stoplight as a cyclist. Look at me. I'm not doing it. And then it's just internal. Like bring it back to yourself. Like, is this for my greater, does this feel good to me? Back to what you were saying. It does feel good to me to stop at lights. That's what feels good for me. I don't have to put my agenda on somebody else, but this is, to me, this is living the demonstration of myself, of like my belief system. Where, what I believe to be good for me. So I love how Philip would talk about that. Like, it doesn't matter. Have you ever been guilty of the same? No matter the form. No matter the form.
no matter the form. Yeah. And I also think part of living the demonstration is like, you know, I'm going back to Oregon this year to race. And I remember last year there was like a full on, I mean, there was more than one, but there was like this group that went by me where they were like literally like changing off, like who's pulling the Peloton, you know, like during a race, like cheating, you know, like just this group of people just cheating. And I remember like getting a charge for that, just like, oh my God, have I ever cheated? I used to write. I mean, I was so good at like cheating in high school. I don't know how I did it, but I used to write like all the answers, or I'd have it like on little pieces of paper and then I would like slide it out. And yeah, oh my God, I've cheated on things before. So it doesn't mean that like intellectually I'm like, okay, I've been guilty of doing something that was against the rules before. Yes. But then you still have the charge, right? And I think a part of living the demonstration is all the things that go on behind the scenes that nobody's ever going to know but you, which is like, what now do I do with that charge? And that's where really transformation begins, where it'll be interesting to see when I go back this year, if there are other groups of cyclists working together in that way.
There certainly will be.
I'm thinking there's a 100% chance. We shall see. If anything comes up for me. And if it does, then I get to work with that, right? And how do you work with that? Well, that's a skill that is, you know, crafted over time. And it's really about not indulging in the thoughts about what you're feeling, but just feel what you're feeling and breathe. And then that energy will transmute. We can't create or destroy energy, but we can transform it. And that's what you do. And as you diffuse those charges, those triggers, by not identifying with all the commentary about what you're feeling, that's how you really transform. And so that annoying coworker, I've seen this so many times with the people that I work with, the annoying coworker, you know, like a year later or 6 months later or 5 years later, it's different for everyone. They'll be like, oh my God, I love that person now. Like I can just see them and I see them as capable. Like I see that they just need to matter. And it has nothing to do with the annoying coworker. It has everything to do with that athlete or that client that I'm working with has started to live the demonstration of what they want to see more of in the world.
Yeah. And if you want, so you want to see more peace, you want to see more calm, you want to see more love in the world, then you've got to start with yourself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that coworker didn't change at all. The coworker is the same person, but your reaction and your relationship to it has changed.
Because you've changed the way it really is kind of like this step process, right? Like you become aware of your thoughts, right? Then you get tools and practices and techniques to you know, get into that gap and choose different responses. And then as you choose and fuel different responses that move you towards the person you want to be in the world that you dream to see, then those old patterns fall away. Mm-hmm. Like it's not about stopping anything. No. It's just like we have to stop charging what it is that we don't want to charge anymore.
Yeah. So if I always get angry when X happens or such and such happens, well, there you go. There's the arrow to what's next to work on. What is it that you get charged? Okay, well, what is it about it? I talked about it, I think, in the SmackDown from Oceanside, but the guy in front of me, I know his bib number. I'm not going to say it.
Don't. Because you don't want to condemn him.
Right. Taking the gel top off of a gel, spitting it out, and then taking the gel.
And then what was he doing with the wrapper?
I don't know what he did with the wrapper.
I wouldn't do that stuff on.
But it was like a combination of things. It was like spitting, and then it was like drafting, and then it was just all.
What a guru.
Yeah. But my point is, like, that years ago would have really fired me up, and rightly so, because I didn't have the tools to manage that disruption. But now I see it. It still happens. So it's not like it's never going to happen. It happens. It lit up a little thing in me. It was like, oh, and then I quickly diffuse it. And I come back always because I've patterned to what you're speaking about. I've chosen now to create a new pattern in my mind that says, okay, I see that. Oh, I know that feeling that's coming up. It's not a good feeling. What can I do about it? Nothing. Go back to my race. Go back to my plan. Go back to being calm. I'm present. I've got a thing to do here in the race that has nothing to do with this fellow. Whether I'm here in this race or not, that is still going to happen. So the only thing that's different, whether I'm there or not, is I'm either there or not, me. So it all comes back to me. So I love, this is why living the demonstration back to, you were talking about experience. I love being a coach that still races. And I have experience in different kinds of races, different conditions, different environments, different pressures. I love immersing myself in that because you can't be one and you can't just be done and then accept like, okay, this is how all Ironmans go. There's so much that goes into that. Right. So much so that I'm doing Texas for the first time ever in 20 years in the sport. Like for the first time I'm doing the full in a couple weeks. So like I'm going to have an experience there, but I love living the demonstration, meaning I'm going to go do a race that years ago I said I would never, ever do. Or let's even backtrack even more, like open water swims. I remember being asked all the time by the crew in Newport to go into the third beach to go swim. And I was like, nope, not doing it. Not doing it today. Nope, not doing it. So now I've got experience because I let my guard down. I was open to the possibility that maybe there's something here for me. Of course, I had a little guiding light around in my life that influenced me to be more so into the open water. But look at these things that have really a hold on you, a hold on your joy and growth as a spiritual being having a human experience. So yeah, living the demonstration, it's a really good question. We talk about it a lot, actually, you and I, in the work that we do with athletes and your clients. It's an important practice to really own.
Yeah. And I think like a logical way is it's just simply like make a list of the world that you desire to live in. And I think this is something that was really hit home for me was I did this, you know, many years ago, like, okay, I want a world where people are more kind and I want a world where people support other people. And I want a world where there's more peace and a world where there's like less violence and more calmness. And so then I was like, okay, so that's what I want to see. And then I was like, ugh, then you got to look at what you don't want to look at, which is what am I contributing to that world? Am I contributing those qualities to that world? And when am I not contributing those qualities? And so that's a great place to start on like just going really broad. Like I want a world where people are less reactionary. Okay.
Then you have to be less reactionary.
So yeah. So just watch when you're in that reaction mode, like watch those locked and loaded responses. And there's probably a lot of those locked and loaded responses that are helpful and good and contributing to the world that you want to see, right? But there might be some that are going in the opposite direction. And it's not about beating yourself up, but it's about seeing like, okay, well, if I want to live the demonstration, then I need to work on this like judgment about the fellow, as you called him, the fellow who's, you know, ripping off his gel things and spinning it on the ground. I need to notice like what's coming up for me. Okay, I've got anger. All right, I want a world where there's more kindness. So what do I do with this anger? And, you know, that's something that, you know, if it's maybe you need some help working with that, and that's fine too, right? Like live that demonstration, ask for help, like get yourself a mindset coach or a wellness coach or a therapist, like whatever speaks to you is where you want to go. Even if it's scary. And I think also like you were saying, BJ, like you love being a coach that still races. And, you know, something that I work on a lot with people is, you know, trusting the unknown and taking risks in life. We're just here for this like tiny little sacred glimpse, you know? And so I keep doing that, right? I keep doing that. And that's me living the demonstration. I'm, you know, I'm making big financial investments in these retreats and, you know, and working the mind and working the power of visualization and imagination and, you know, and then the logical things of posting about them and talking to people about these to get people signed up and to join me in these beautiful far off places. And so that's another way that I live the example. Like I'm taking a lot of risks. And doing that like from a place of alignment, you know, and following those calls, because I know those things that are placed there on my heart and those inspirations, they're there for a reason. And so I speak a lot about that to people and I got to live that. How can I not live that and then teach it? Doesn't mean I can't do that.
What did Gabby say? Live it.
You got to live it to teach
it. Live it to teach it.
Yeah.
Live it to teach it.
Yeah. That's a great podcast with our friends, Gabby and Rusty. I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, that was pretty, it's pretty important.
It was a few years ago. But yeah. Okay, Bill, I hope that helped. I think we could go on and on and on and on about living the demonstration. But we're kind of getting to a point where we're going to wrap this up. But Bill, let us know if you have any more questions on that. BJ?
Well, living the demonstration, one last thing on that.
Yeah.
Our 8-hour meditations.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of bring it back. Okay. I know you wanted to talk about that. So
that wraps into living a demonstration too, like immersing ourselves in stillness and quiet 2 times a year.
Yeah. Can we have a little disclaimer here though? Like what? If you work with us, you don't have to do an 8-hour meditation.
No,
like,
no.
Nobody's going to make you do it.
No,
but it took me like 11 years to actually do it. Bob was like, it's time. You're sitting for 8 hours.
We're doing the work. We're going beyond.
Yeah. We have to go beyond.
Yeah. We have to go beyond so that we can speak to.
Yes. Like the 20-minute meditation.
The 5-minute meditation.
Yeah. The 5-minute meditation.
But we did do our first of the year last week. Mm-hmm. The week before the race, Oceanside 70.3, the Sunday before the race. Yeah. Race is Saturday, so the Sunday before. Man, and I didn't talk about this on the SmackDown, but it was really a powerful practice for me in using my tools to constantly pull myself back into the moment over and over and over again. And there were times where I was lost track of time. I know you did too, because we talked a little bit about it. But the times that I had to like use my mantra or counting or breath work, and you do that for 8 hours.
It sounds like yours was a bit of a grind. And that's fine, because sometimes that's how they are. They're different every time. But what do you mean? Would explain to people what you mean when you say lost time. What are you talking about?
You can't recall.
But what's that state?
It's peace, ease, no thought. And the only reason you know that you have no thought is because you come out of it and you have a thought. And you're like, oh. And let me just say, we're not lying down for this. So it's not sleep. We are seated the whole time, which I'm so glad, because if I was laying down, I definitely would be sleeping. Because we start at 3:45 in the morning, but it's a state of no thought. Like everything seems to just merge together, and we do this early in the morning when there's not a lot of like activity around us or our building. The birds haven't started yet, but you do hear those first few chirps in the morning, and then we are so blessed and lucky to live in a place where basically for the whole practice, there was nothing loud or thunderous to disrupt or pull our attention away. It was actually peaceful in that respect. But I felt at ease when I came out of it. And even the whole week, I know I was really busy leading up to the race, but I wasn't really like flustered at all. And so much so that on race day, it was really the calmest I've ever been on race day, meaning not anxious, but just really at peace with the moment I was in constantly. The swim, you know, the transitions, the bike, the run, and I had a stellar race. So in my mind, I'm relating the two together. I'm going to say, and this is my belief, that setting myself up for a successful race is partially, can partially be contributed to what I did on that Sunday on my mat. I mean, on the meditation pillow. I don't think we can describe this enough until you practice this, and you don't have to go 8 hours, but if you do have a 15, 20 minute practice, I would say in this coach's perspective, I would say go 45 minutes to an hour once a month and see what that experience is like, because the longer you go, the more fruitful it will be in your peace and calm. Like, there's a really big hurdle in the first 15 to 20 minutes, I feel. And we don't give ourselves a chance, if we're only doing 5 and 10, to kind of move beyond it. So I feel like if you can get through that, like, muck, that disturbance, and let the water settle, as you like to say, or the mud settle, the water becomes clear. And then you have this, like, blissful calm all over, and nothing matters. Like, there's no email you have to get back to. There's no, there's nobody calling you. There's nothing you have to go get at the store. And it's kind of like you just be, it's just the being. So that, I wanted to mention that because I want to capture that. Like, I had a great race, and I think a lot of, yes, fitness and training the mind and nutrition and years in the sport. But I think that last frontier is this practice of quieting the mind so that the invincibleness and unshakability can rise up when you need it most on race day.
Yeah, it just shows up for you. It has, like, this robustness in your life, and it doesn't slow you down. Obviously, you just, like, it's funny because, like, mental training, and especially the way that we teach it here at Yogi Triathlete, is you're slowing down, but just like physical training, you actually slow down to get faster, right? So you slow down, but you're making less foolish mistakes. You're expending way less vital energy leading into a race and during the race. And so everything is just, you're just this well-oiled machine. And obviously you just crushed Oceanside, which is incredible. Congratulations on that.
And one more, Clark. One more.
He's like choking. He just woke up. Now he's like walking around choking.
One more benefit from all that, right, Clark, was you had said to me before the race, like race morning, you were like, pay attention. You said something about paying attention, like watch the things that are happening around you, like be aware. And I didn't quite know what that meant. I was like, yeah, like I get it. Like, I'm going to practice that. But soon when I got on the bike and there were just tons of pieces of pavement missing in the road, much more so than in past years, I knew that that was what it was for. Because when you get an aero position, you kind of like, you're kind of like focused down, but I had to look up quite often and make little, like, you know, moves to avoid a lot of these holes. And that was, so would I have listened to you and applied that into the race if my mind hadn't been like really slowed down from my practice earlier in the week? So there's more benefits than just sitting in the race experience and being calm. There's acute things that you can pinpoint that are beneficial for the overall experience that you had.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing it. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Cool.
We're going to go get some burritos.
Yeah, it's been a long training day.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks guys for listening.
2 weeks till Texas. 2 weeks from today, you'll be done.
2 weeks from today, yeah. If you haven't been following, go check out my journey to my fastest Ironman on Patreon. All our supporters, you can support the podcast, both podcasts, through our Patreon account. And for as little as $5 a month, you can get some insight into my training and lead up to this Ironman Texas, which is, by the time this launches, it's probably already happened, but it'd be really good to go back and check it out. All the details, the training, the mindset, the weekly recap. So yeah. And I'm doing it because I want to share something that is so like, how is this going to happen? Like after being 20 years in the sport, you're 51 years old. Like, how is this going to happen? Well, I'm living the demonstration. I'm going to go lay it down. So go check it out on Patreon. We appreciate your support and we couldn't do it without you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone. See you next month.